Blog Talk Radio.
In the word, as a teenager, was not cool. And it was not until 1979 when I picked up this book that I then began to be able, and it just came up for me as he was sharing, I began to be able to connect what my mom taught me and faith and the other word, and what my father demonstrated and taught me as a business person. This book enabled me to connect the two. And Nito Cobain talks about the intentional congruence. Those two events were able to come together in my life as an adult when I read this book, and I began to understand through the chapter of faith, through the organized planning chapter, how do I really live my faith? So that's what was coming up for me as Sam was sharing. So thank you so very much for that, because again, like you said, you know, the connection, the vibe. You have to be willing to really receive and be open. And depending upon what kind of religion we were boxed in, and I call it a box, okay, sometimes information like this cannot get through, or if it takes a very long time. So those are my thoughts for me.
So I love that you were talking about it from being a teenager, because, Sam, you work with a lot of teenagers. And you know, when I look at the background that you have, I went and tried out all the religions. I mean, I was from this to that to this, you know, searching until I love the words that both you and Andy just used about this intentional congruence and the internal. So you work with teenagers. Tell me how Think and Grow Rich, how do you bring it to them? How are you using that? Think and Grow Rich with them.
Excellent question. And we only have an hour, right? So I'll keep my answer short. That's a long answer. So Culver Academy is a leadership academy. Students come here for leadership and character development. My congregation now, I've been in ordained ministry for 32 years, and my congregation now consists of 830 teenagers. And we are a boarding school that helps to prepare global citizens and leaders of the future. So quite obviously, and starting with the chapter we're focusing on today on organized planning, Dr. Hill outlined several steps for leadership, you know, and effective leadership. And I know, Peter, you had mentioned something about that too, resonating with you. But then he goes into the failures, right? Like the failures of leadership. And that is one way, first and foremost, that Think and Grow Rich and the principles here can be communicated to the students. What does it take to be a good leader? And one of the things I find is going all the way back to step one, because we can't just sort of jump into step six because they're all sort of interconnected. Mm-hmm. And one of the things for the teenagers, so it's ninth through 12th grade here, and that developmental stage in adolescence, is a very exploratory sort of age, and students are trying to figure out who they are. And so one of the principles, for example, of fixing a definite purpose, you know, let's just start there. That's huge for students, right? And then to be able to have them use applied faith. I think one of my greatest challenges and something that's really sort of taken off, I think I remember a phrase, and I'd have to look at the exact chapter in Think and Grow Rich, where Dr. Hill talks about the importance of owning our own mind. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to communicate, not just to the young people I work with, but also to everyone, right? Like we have the ability to direct the course of our attention at will. But part of what that involves, for me anyway, is some techniques and practices that can help me regulate my nervous system. I know, Anne, you had talked about sort of that faith being sort of a narrow or in a box. That's ego stuff, right? And I think what I need to do is sort of get my ego out of the way that I might be able to be open to the transformative power that can come in so many forms. The other thing we do in our leadership here is we haven't called it this, but I think from this day forward, I may start calling it the Mastermind Alliance, because we have students that get together for leadership. And one of the groups that just formed, and this is a student organized and student led, is an interfaith council, where this is a great place to introduce Mastermind. And bring representatives from all the various faiths to the table. We have students from 24 countries here at the academies, and we have lots of different faith backgrounds, so much diversity all across the board. And so to be able to bring a group like that together, and that's what we've been doing the past year, is say, okay, what's the purpose of this group? Let's fix your definite purpose. And put that into action.
Wow, you know, I could see Peter is getting so excited. You're tapping on so many different things. He's like, okay, I got it. Peter, go ahead. You're just so funny when I watch you. And you're like, oh, he said this. He said that. I can feel you.
Yeah, I'm chomping at the bit a little bit. Again, thank you so much. And Dr. Sam, thank you so much again for joining us this morning. Such an interesting topic. And I've been writing down notes about some of the stuff that you've been saying, because, again, it's resonating with me. That's the first word I want to use as I ask you a question here. You said resonance. Even and what it made me think of is this, is when we're younger, we don't tap into what's going on in our subconscious as much as we do when we get older. So you mentioned that word resonance and what resonated with you when you first met Anne McNeil. And then I'm reflecting on some of these principles that I read off a little while ago as auto-suggestion, subconscious, the brain, the sixth sense. And Napoleon Hill does a great job of really tapping into what's going on below the surface, what's going on below or just the external. So again, as I started out, when we're younger, a lot of times we don't live in the subconscious. We live in the physical, right? We just hear what we see. As we continue to get older, and I'll even speak for myself, I am more connected. I desire to be more connected with my subconscious, with my sixth sense, and what resonates with me and those sensations that I'm feeling about other people. So from that perspective, how has this great text influenced you, maybe from a personal, spiritual, but also from a subconscious perspective, as I just alluded to?
Yeah, excellent question. I think first and foremost, that just sort of the power of the subconscious mind in that, I believe it's step three about using affirmations.
Sure.
And that is a really powerful thing. And one of the things I've done personally, and am now sort of sharing this with the universe, is creating vision boards to be able to visualize. And one of the things that these 13 principles have helped me to do is to, again, take that vision or that thought or that idea and sort of manifest that into reality. And for me, there's a middle step in there, right? So it's not only the visualization and saying the affirmations, and then all of a sudden it sort of just sort of magically appears, but obviously there is persistence and diligence and all of that comes in there. But there's this other piece that has to do with tapping into our feelings, our emotions about it. One of the most powerful things about visualization, and this has to do, I think, with the power of the subconscious mind, is when I'm visualizing myself actually in a space I tap into the feeling. The vision is just an image in my mind. The feeling is in my body in real time, right? Like I'm feeling the feeling now, and that sets the vibration for manifesting, right? And so one of the things that's so powerful about this process of auto-suggestion, right, or using affirmations is to get out of our head and drop into the body, because the body knows, the body keeps the score. And if I can feel the feeling, it's already happening. Not just an idea, it's already become a reality. And so now, you know, sort of working my controlled attention and applied faith and diligence, and persistence to achieve the goal and not give up, right? I think one of the things that initially really struck me and one of the things our students are doing is sort of that whole growth mindset idea. You know, as Dr. Hill mentioned in his text, I think maybe even in this chapter, how Thomas Edison tried 10,000 times and failed 10,000 times in his invention of the incandescent bulb. And so that lesson in itself is sort of this try again. So I don't know if that answered your question. I felt like it was a little all over the place, but really for me on a personal level, that visualization and that embodied experience, super, super important.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. I think Ann McNeil got some stuff going on, Pagin, too, right? I think she's got
Before we jump to Ann McNeil, I want you to know, Sam, that you are resonating with some of our people. We have someone who just wrote, Cindy Tisnick has wrote, my goosebumps are sizzling already while Sam was talking. My whole heart is connected to y'all. This topic is dear and becoming more of my business. They also said, she also wrote, I have three teens, and so she wants your website, and we'll be posting that for you also there. And you wrote to everybody, the greatness is the ability to recognize the power of your own mind, embrace it, and use it. Now, I know you're bobbing your head. I'm going to come to you, Anne, but I see Ursula's already been like, no, let me talk. Come on.
Yeah, I have a two-part question, in fact. When you were talking about your background, it made me realize that a part of my whole belief system is that I've always thought that various spiritual religions and what have you are manifestations of the same thing, but in different terms. Like if I call someone honey, baby, sweetheart, darling, it's not that the person changed, but it's just that what you call that person may be different. So I also recognize I don't know what I don't know, meaning that I have no idea what the various religions are really about. So I have a curiosity about that. But to bring it to the book, when they talk about what it takes to bring prepare a breakfast and what goes all into that and the systems and all the wheels that have to turn in order to put that breakfast in front of you, from tea from China to wherever, and the farmer bringing the breakfast and the eggs and whatever you, it takes a big system. So my question, in light of my ignorance of the various spiritual religions, what is the common theme between those religions to create the system to get through being a teenager?
Beautiful question. I absolutely love that question. And my first answer is I have absolutely no idea. No, I'm joking. But that's my first response is too, you know, the workings of the teenage mind, let's just say, are extraordinary. And but when it comes to the commonalities of the religion, as it sort of relates to Think and Grow Rich, especially, is the first thing I want to lift up is faith, right? And I like, in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, in the Christian Testament, at least, the faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for, the conviction of things that are not yet seen. And wow, like if that is not fixing a definite purpose, like, I don't know what is, right? So the beginning point for all of these religious beliefs is the idea of faith, living by faith and not by fear. And I think that's a huge thing. The other thing, I think the commonality is, and this is even in non-religious philosophical traditions as well, love God, love your neighbor. Sort of the bottom line, right? In the common thread that weaves throughout these. And another way, I think I mentioned this earlier about getting the ego out of the way. I think there is an aspect of surrendering of our own ego self so that the divine infinite intelligence may flow through us. And sometimes, my mind can be a tremendous asset, but it can also be the source of my undoing if I would allow that, right? And so spiritual traditions and practices like prayer, like meditation, give ourselves, let me just put it this way. Almost every religion has some sort of ritual aspect to it. And in these performance of rituals, whether that is a breathing meditation or praying the rosary, whatever it might be, it's a tool for self-regulation. It's a way that we recognize our humanness. And as a human being, my nervous system gets all jacked up. I mean, all I have to do is watch the evening news. And so when I'm like that, I don't know if jacked up is a clinical term, but
it works.
The teenager.
You're relating to this a lot. You just go with all jacked up because I'm so there.
Oh, man. And when I'm all jacked up, when my nervous system is on edge because I have all of these perceived threats or whatever, I'm not the best version of myself. I become impulsive. I become reactive. And so spiritual practices, particularly, and other sort of resources for self-regulation allow me to manage my own nervous system, or as Dr. Hill says, own my own mind, so that I can respond instead of react. So that's a way, I think, Ursula, that I see all the spiritual traditions sort of sharing that same methodology.
You know, you mentioned respond versus react. I interviewed someone that brought those two terms front and center for me by saying that if your body is ill and you're given medicine and your body reacts to it, that's not good. That means that your body is not accepting whatever is being given to you. It's actually working against it. But if you respond, if your body responds to it, then it is accepting the healing and it's moving forward. So that really stuck. So and you're the first person to say those two words together since I've heard that analogy, and it really did resonate with me too.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I know, and I'm sorry, picking up on that again about the respond-react thing. When people live on social media, very often we become a lot more reactive to posts and things like that. Like immediately we'll click like, or, oh, I didn't mean to send that or whatever. So again, what a better tool to teach our young people and all of us for that matter. But to maybe take a breath before you send that text, maybe before you click this, maybe take a moment, to respond instead of simply react. I've seen people that have posted things in a sort of a flurry of reactivity that always haven't been the most helpful.
I love how you're saying, and just so you know, if anybody, as you've been talking, listening, we've been talking about this respond, react, which I'm loving, but I am fascinated. I always love body language. And when I see Anne doing this, and she has this thing of I could feel you, like, not only you bobbing, but it's like, ooh, I need to get in here, and
love it.
So good.
So if those of you who are watching talk about body language, right? Like, you can take a look at all of us here around the mastermind table, and we're all lit up. And the reason we're all lit up is that's what happens in Mastermind Alliance. And that's what happens when we gather around a text like Think and Grow Rich and be able to apply these aspects to our life in a real way.
Yeah, and you really are helping us, for us as a mastermind, thinking about, you know, this react, respond. Ursula, I love how you were just sharing about that. That was so great. And, you know, Peter, your perspective, and I'm really curious about what's going through your mind, because there she goes, her eyebrow is up. What's going on through your mind?
So many things. One of the things that came up as I was trying to get ahead of Ursula, of course, because in the moment you lose, I'm like one of those people that, you know, okay, I got to send it right now. Oh, it's gone. but when you talked about the feeling, what came up for me was one of the books called by Neville Goddard, entitled "The Feeling Is the Secret." Feel the feeling prior to it happening. And we're talking about organized planning, and how do you really effectively, when you're planning with a vision, you want to see the plan already achieved. You want to see it already demonstrated. And so as you were sharing, and that's what I was trying to get in to say about, we talked about the vision board, and I was writing some notes. That's why I put it in the chat. I think I'll start doing that a little bit more often. So that I don't lose the thought. But when you talked about Napoleon Hill sharing about the power of your mind, his quote came to my mind, which is, greatness is the ability to recognize the power of your own mind, embrace it, and then use it. And for many years, I had to realize those are three different acts. And so when you mentioned that, it just, you know, resonated with me, because oftentimes we say a sentence, may have a comma, but that was one quote that I used for years, and I put a period after each act. I had to recognize the power of my own mind, you see, as a small business and all the things that I am, to recognize that. Second, I had to begin to embrace, because it's a process, I am now still embracing the power of my mind. But it means absolutely nothing if I don't use it. And so it's, I just wanted to just share that, because I believe that the work you're doing with the students, with the visualization, the vision board, and all of those, can you share with us, and I'll go to my question, what next in terms of for you and the work you're doing? When we talk about organized planning, if we can just peek into your vision board, if we can just peek into your future and your future plans, for your business and or your life, what's next for you?
Yeah, how wonderful is that? So I think the two levels, and they work symbiotically, and that's the personal and the professional, because one sort of informs the other for sure. In terms of what's next for me, to be able to continue to manifest ways to help young people, and part of my own personal mission statement is to empower young people. So exactly like you said with that quote, first of all, recognize the power of your own mind, right? Embrace that, right? And that's huge right there. Like you said, it's a process, and then use it. And I think that's kind of what's next for me. And it's already starting to emerge a little bit. I'm sort of taking some of these techniques and practices in my yoga teacher training. And of course, the word yoga itself means to bring together and make whole. And the idea there's no separation, right, between mind and body and so forth. But one example of how that's happening and helping students to recognize the power of their own mind, embracing that and start to use it, we have a pretty robust hockey program here at Culver. We have a couple of national hockey teams, nationally recognized, and then some other varsity teams as well. And I've been working specifically with the hockey goalies And to be a goaltender, just kind of visualize, talk about visualization, visualize being a hockey goalie for a second, if you would, in the middle of a game. And where, well, I'll put it this way. One student described it as being peppered with pucks through the entire course of the game. So the nervous system cannot handle that intensity for three full periods in a hockey game, right? So what I'm doing is taking these principles now on the ice, as it were, and helping the goalies to use this principle of, okay, you have the ability. Being a goalie is pretty much 100% defense, right? So talk about reactivity. That's what they do, and that's what makes them good. But what happens when the puck is down at the other end of the ice? How do you get yourself back in the game? How can you take ownership of your own mind again and recognize the power that I have, the ability and the power to regulate my own nervous system? And I have a breathing technique that I'd be happy to teach you all if we had the time. It's actually a technique I've learned along the way that within 1 minute, the nervous system comes back into balance. And so I've been using this breathing technique with the hockey goalie.
Right, you have no choice, but now you cannot do that to us.
I've got to do that. Okay, good.
You cannot that you have this technique and then leave this woman without learning that technique. That would be
Thank
so
you,
unfair.
Team. That's exactly what I was thinking, because I don't know.
I don't want people to fall asleep on the call. We could do that now.
I have people on Facebook saying, you know, feeling is a secret. They're responding to you. And I can tell you that we want it. So just go for it. Come on, go.
Just go
ready.
For it right now. Okay. So I'll give you a little teaching background about the technique, and then we'll actually practice it together. And I use this all the time. I wish I would have learned this as a teenager.
Stop talking. Teach us.
Oh, man. It would have saved me a lot of pain. So the technique is actually a very ancient pranayama practice called samavritti. And in Sanskrit, the word vritti means something like mind chatter or some the fluctuations of the mind, basically how our minds are most of the time. Sama means to settle or balance. So this breath work is an immediate shortcut to the autonomic nervous system. And it helps us to maintain a homeostasis. So so wherever you are in your place, I'll teach you this technique. And what it really involves is some deep full body breathing. And if we just breathe deeply, that's already amazing, right? And then we add this practice. So the idea of this samavritti is the inhale and the exhale are the same length. Because again, that brings balance to the nervous system. And so the inhales are just have this real sense of just filling the body with breath. If you've ever seen an infant sleeping, right, in their crib, their whole body is breathing. So it's not just their chest, right, their entire body. That's the kind of breathing we want to do. So we nourish ourselves with inhale, and we just let go on the exhale. And as we do, the shoulders release. Right, shoulder blades melt down. If you're doing the breathing now, you're probably already noticing, hey, this is pretty extraordinary. So the inhale, body expands, shoulders kind of float up. Exhale, shoulder blades melt down the back, and just kind of draw your navel in toward your spine. So just a couple more breaths like that. And I'll count us through the breathing process. Wherever you are in your breath cycle right now, exhale completely. And here we go. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Inhale, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And inhale, full body. And exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Inhale. And exhale. Two more rounds of 8 on your own. You count it off. Two more rounds. Nourish yourself with breath. Let go, soften the shoulders, draw your navel into the spine. One more round. Inhale. And return to normal breathing. Notice how you feel.
I'm high.
That was 1 minute. That was 1 minute, friends. So we are always 1 minute away from managing our own nervous systems with this kind of breathing technique. And the work I've been doing with the goalies, the idea is to practice, right? You put these things into practice, the more you do them, the better you get. So that when they get to a point where it's sometimes it's just one breath and a reset. It works for me. It helps me a lot. Things like this morning when I woke up and was super nervous about coming on this program, I did some breathy breathing and was back in the game. So it's just a lot.
This is really helpful to so many of us that are, you know, juggling so much, and also that participants in the global world. So we see the things that are happening. So thank you for taking the time for teaching us that. I mean, this is like, we all just needed that time. And I'm looking at some of the quote people are posting is, you know, doesn't matter during nose or mouth, Catherine Woodhouse is writing, and then she's like, okay, I want it. People were just saying, we want to know the technique. So I'm really happy that you shared with it. One of the things that you were talking about was about feelings. And because of the mastermind and because of Think and Grow Rich and my own involvement, I recognize that while we have the desire of what is it that you want to achieve and where you want to go, I had to begin to shift into what were the feelings that I wanted to experience as part of my life. So I have on my board, you know I want the feelings of freedom and choices and ease and flow and bliss. I'm looking at my board, happiness, enthusiasm, energy, excitement, receiving, orgasmic, and that it all just comes easy. That I recognize the feelings. And so I'm really, really happy that you have several times during the time that we've been here talking about the feelings in terms of raising our vibes, creating the desires. But it's not so much the material, and I wanted to ask you, it's not so much the material results as much as the feelings that we receive from the material results. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's exactly true. So a couple of things about that. I think one is that's the difference between just wishful thinking and manifesting your reality is that wishful thinking is, gosh, I wish I could, you know, sort of someday be able to have a hot tub where I can have my friends over or whatever. Like, okay, so there's your vision. So let's visualize what it's like. What is my desired state of consciousness? What is my feeling I want to achieve? I want to be sitting back with a fine beverage and a smile on my face. I feel the feeling, and the feeling is happening right now. It's real. The feeling is real. Think about it this way. Think about like when you have a dream at night, you're sleeping. The dream is an illusion, but how many times have you woken up from a dream and you still feel the feelings of it, right? Because the feelings are real. Now that, I believe, is the embodied experience. And that's the difference between just sort of an idea or a thought or an image or a vision and an actual embodied experience. You know, the older I get, and I'm almost in my early 30s, the older I get in my life, I find myself paying much more attention to my body and what is my body saying. And so, Ursula, kind of getting back to one of your questions about world religions, that's one of the things we need to ask ourselves with any spiritual practice is, what's my desired state of consciousness? What is it I want to sort of feel or experience? Because, man, I could go through the motions all day and do this thing and live according to other people's expectations. But if my body is not on board with it, it's going to send me signals that I'm off track. So one of the ways we can employ Dr. Hill's method, right, of employing, you know, sort of applied faith, belief is huge. So we feel the feeling, and now it's not just, oh, someday I will feel this. No, I'm feeling it right now. It's already happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I
got it. Okay.
Jazz hands, right?
Yes, I want him too.
Go ahead. Just go.
I'm in line. First, before we, I don't even know when we're going to wrap up, but listen, this has got to be in my head, because when you talked about the hot tub with your friends, that is exactly one of the exercises that I have at my McMill Factor Mastermind Retreat at 5 a.m. in the morning. I have an exercise. We don't exercise. We just get in the hot tub with my friends. All of us get in the hot tub at 5 a.m. in the morning. That's how we start our day. And as soon as the sun begins to rise, like zombies, we get up out of the hot tub and we walk to the beach, which is right a step away. And so you are in my head. Thank you so very much. Now, Ursula, I'll yield to you. Thank you.
Okay.
Feeling the feeling already experienced. Thank you.
Okay. So this is a connect the dot moment for me. When you talk about feeling and believing and what have you, I think of a time when someone was telling me that in your dream, you can actually fly. And I thought it was a bunch of malarkey, right? It was like, yeah, right. But that night when I went to sleep, I don't know what was at work, but it happened. In my head, I actually flew. I know what it feels like. It was real. And I woke up and I said, that's too much control over my mind. But what I connect to this conversation is, now if I take that experience, the belief that you can manifest your reality, and then apply what I want in life, the feeling that I want in life, oh, I got an exercise for the rest of the week. You know, I am going to put that visualization, that belief, that experience, that system of programming the subconscious mind in place. Because you've just connected a lot of the dots.
And I gotta jump in really quick, Pagin, before you come off of mute. Dr. Sam, you know, what resonates with me wholeheartedly is, you know, you mentioned those affirmations early on, and we're talking about the subconscious. But if your vision is really to have that hot tub, or if it's like me having that hot tub and pool looking over the Atlantic, you know, I want to live in that space now in order to get there later, right? So now those of you who are listening and watching, you know, how do you get that, even through the Soma breathing techniques, how do you be centered in that place now so that everything you're doing is working towards getting to that spot? And I think that's the beauty of Think and Grow Rich. You know, it almost guides you to your dreams, your goals, and your visions, if you're willing to embrace and digest it, right?
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Peter. And I saw Valencia added something in the chat about how can you maintain that feeling. And honestly, it's where the Mastermind Alliance comes in. It's where I get by with a little help from my friends. I realize there's some days when I'm not my best self and I lose that feeling or something. And so I need accountability partners. And reminders to help me. A little story about that. One of my very first years in parish ministry, I remember leading worship and it came time to lead the people in the Lord's Prayer. And something I'd prayed ever since I was a little child and our Father and et cetera. And so I got up to lead the Lord's Prayer and completely drew a blank. I had absolutely no idea how to start that darn prayer. And I just stood there in silence, in fear, like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, some guy in the back of the church Our Father, who, and then everybody joins back in. And that's an example to me about, you know, when I'm not quite feeling it, there's always going to be somebody else in my tribe that can help remind me and reconnect me. So that might be one technique when we sort of lose that feeling, and how do we maintain that? That's where I feel I need to reach out to others. And I know Dr. Hill talks about that as a form of compensation, right? Like we share ideas with each other. We share thoughts and visions and encouragement, and not just monetarily or materially.
You are so right. I mean, I run a mastermind for women leaders in business, speakers and authors, and we meet every Tuesday, and we have our mastermind. And of course, during this experience, one of the things that everybody coming together has been, if we all been floating higher, because if one person is needing that uplift, everybody else is uplifting and bringing her up. And the consistency of meeting with a like-minded group of people who desire, in our world, it's to be bold, be brave, be seen, be heard, and be paid well. The mission is a consistency, and that brings it up higher. I love that. So, Dr. Sam, can you just share with everybody, how can they get in contact with you and hear from you and follow you? And
thank
before
you
do that, will you come back to us? Will you speak to us again?
Absolutely. I love it. I love this here. I wish we had a couple of hours, right, around the table. I actually don't have a website yet. There's the power of yet. I'm always learning the power of yet. That's a Carol Dweck, I don't know if you know her work at all, but the power of yet. Probably my email would be the best way to sort of do initial contact with me. I'm kind of broad spectrum in a lot of things that I offer. I mean, I teach some yoga classes. I do the direction of spiritual life here at the academies. Also do some preaching in local congregations. I do some retreats. So I'm kind of all over the map. But I will share my email with the team, and you can broadcast it. I don't, maybe type it into the chat if that
works.
Yeah,
just go ahead, type it in the chat, let us know, and
okay.
All there. Ursula, how can people get in touch with you about your legacy walls and the things that you do? You have to turn on your...
You can find me at sulatoo.com, sulatoo.com, and also my email is sulatoo.llc@gmail.com.
Great, and Peter...
Yeah, thanks, Pagina. Dr. Peter A. James, you can find me at shiftyourmindset.com, which is my website, shiftyourmindset.com, or on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames. Thank you so much, Pagina.
And those of you who have been hearing about Ann McNeil's retreat and what she does, what you also don't know, and is before we get off, I would just want people to know, is every year she holds a magnificent accountability mastermind retreat January. And Ursula, do you know, I know that we could put it in the post, but Ursula, do you know, you've been in there with your grandchild. So why should people attend that before I get to Ann?
Well, if you want to be held accountable for your own goals and the things that you say out of your mouth, then this is the place to go. Because every first Saturday, well, actually starts on Friday, every first Friday and Saturday at Embassy Suites in Boca Raton, there is an accountability meeting, which means that she will have you talk about what you plan and then hold you accountable by sending that back to you and say, did you really do it? And the best analogy that I think of that she used or that is said during the meeting is that if you were to stand before the Creator and be asked to be accountable for the last 365 days, would you have done enough to warrant having another 365 days? And that really puts it in perspective. Am I using the tools that I was given in a way that is worthy of being able to keep those tools for another 365 days? And the only way that you know that is to be held accountable for those things in your life, from spiritual to professional to individual to family, all of those. And family, that is what it is. It's a family event. Every person in your family can benefit from this. And the fact that you bring them together, as you mentioned, by having my daughter and a six-year-old with us, that was an enriching experience, because I could see it through the eyes of a six-year-old, see it through the eyes of a 30-year-old, and then my own accountability. So it's personal, it's family, it's interpersonal, because you talk to other people, you learn from other people, people of like mind. It's a wonderful experience, and you have an opportunity to be there. Come on Friday night, and then be there on Saturday as well. That's January 9th, 2021.
Every time we talk about it, what happens to me is the song, "It's a Family Affair." It's a Family Affair. Ann McNeil, how should they take contact with you?
Thank you so very much. Ann McNeil, the Master Builder. You can reach me at 786-546-0184. I do live on text. You can reach me on all the social media. And I did change my name here to say annmcneil.com. That's ANNMCNEILL.com.
Love you. And you can all reach out to me at Pegine. Just type in P-E-G-I-N-E anywhere. You will find me. Do Pegine Power. And for those of women that want to play and be bold, be brave, be seen, be heard, check out PowerWomenElite.com. So, Sam, the man, I need you to give us one statement about organized planning, about being here, so that everybody listening walks away going, Sam, the man, has opened a new world for me. Sam, the man, has lifted me up.
Thank you. Well, I'm just a regular guy, and hopefully I'm a vessel for sort of infinite intelligence to do the teaching, particularly sort of channeling the works of Dr. Hill. I guess a final thought that I would have is just kind of coming back to the subtitle of the chapter, right? And it's talking about organized planning. And it came up on the screen share there just a second ago, crystallizing the vision. Like, I just want us to sit with that metaphor, maybe the rest of today, and visualize a crystal, right? And what I know about my eighth grade geology classes, right? If I remember the formation of crystals, it takes a tremendous amount of pressure and time and transformative energy for sort of inert matter to become crystal. So just kind of, there we go. Yes, exactly. This is how we can own our own mind and manifest our reality, crystallize that. And here's the last thing I want to kind of trip out on. How is it, you're learning how it is, actually, that something intangible like a thought can ever manifest into a crystal?
Love it, love it, love it. For everybody watching, we appreciate you being with us on the Mastermind, our Mastermind Think and Grow Rich program. We're here every Saturday at 8 o'clock. Sammy, you've enriched our life. You've released us from being reactive to responding. My fellow masterminders and Galen, we miss you today. We're hoping that you're feeling better and better. Laverne, our behind-the-scenes producer, Dorita, our other producer, we just are so grateful for all of you being here. We receive your love. And for my masterminders, thank you for enriching my life, for opening a path for infinite intelligence to receive us and guide us and show us the way. For all of you, Sam, may you have many blessings, and chime that bell when we're all said and done so that we could be received there. And just have a great day, everybody. Love you all. See you next week, 8 a.m. Once again, Think and Grow Rich Masterminders. Get the book, read the book, live the book. Take care, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Recording has stopped.